We're forced with outdoor repertory theater, events, and educational programs for all ages. A Midsummer Night's Dream is back, alongside Romeo and Juliet, Treasure Island, Noel Coward's Waiting in the Wings, and Bernardo Cubría's dark and incisive new comedy, The People of Pompeii, set in the aftermath of the 2025 Palisades fire. Theatricum is located in Topanga Canyon, just off the 101 freeway, in the shade of the California live oaks. Explore and picnic in the gardens before the show. Further information available at www.theatricum.com and at kpfk.org.
This is KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM Santa Barbara, worldwide at kpfk.org.
Cue the conga playing penguins.
Live at you.
For real.
Oh, yeah.
The program is about to begin.
Hey, welcome to Poacher Our Power, KPFK 90.7 FM on a beautiful Friday. I'm Jeffrey Keller.
Simone, get down, Jeffrey. And I am Esteban Sewell, and I am in the worst chair in the entire building. I feel like it's trying to eat me like a Venus flytrap.
I know.
Look at me, Jeffrey. Look at me.
You got better headphones, though. Headphones are nice.
Yeah. The headphones are working today. But the chair is trying to eat me alive.
That's crazy.
Hey, guys, man. How's it going?
Doing marvelous. Lalo, how you doing?
Somebody feed that chair.
I think someone paid this chair to eat me alive. What's happening? Lalo?
It's a beautiful day in L.A., and we got a super packed show. So we are under a state of time emergency. So... I salute all of you. Welcome everyone to the show. We got a great show. We got ticket giveaways today for Momo Rodriguez and Friends comedy show, and we got lots of other stuff to plug, and we got a lot of guests. So I say we strike up the band.
Patricia, Patricia Guadalupe, Poncho correspondent from Washington, D.C. Hail to Patricia, she comes to spread the cheese. She comes with all the gossip, she's here to spill the tea.
Hello, folks. Once again, we're back. We're back. You know, I was trying to log on, and then I realized, hey, it's time to come on and say hello to everybody. And
hello.
I'm glad to be here once again, and from beautiful downtown Washington, D.C., just about 2 miles away from the State Fair on the National Mall, which which is an event that the Trump people have put together. And if you remember, there were a bunch of singers and artists that dropped out. And so the person who sang the national anthem to open up the whole thing yesterday was Cash Patel's girlfriend. And to not wonderful reviews. And the crowd that was down there was not what you see on social media, where there's a lot of AI photos of showing massive amounts of crowds.
There may be more people on this show today.
That's right.
What?
That's
right.
Not that fair. Yeah.
Well, they're saying that it's an apt name for 250, you know, because that's about how many people are down there, about 250 people.
But,
so
yeah.
It's, you know, this is the thing that they're supposed to have right up leading up to the 4th of July. Now, every year except this year, the Smithsonian has always put together some really interesting events highlighting different parts of the country, different parts of the world, and they call it the Folk Festival. Every year, very popular. This year, they got put somewhere else because he wanted to take over that whole part of the National Mall, even though the ellipse is, which is that whole area behind the White House, because of that whole cage fight, the grass has completely been trampled on, and so they have to fix that. And of course, you know, the reflecting pool, which the Trump has said, the whole reason that it's been, you know, has all of this algae and everything is because vandals people have vandalized it, not thinking that, well, maybe driving a motorcade of 15 cars over it might have cracked the cement, which is what he did when they painted over the reflecting pool.
Jesus.
before they put water in it, obviously. And it's been costing an arm and a leg, as you can imagine, to try and fix that. And the solution is anybody who goes down there and puts their hand in the water or picks up a piece of the peeling paint is going to be prosecuted to the full extent of the law, according to D.C., the U.S. Attorney for D.C., Jeanine Pirro. And if you remember her, she's been satirized on Saturday Night Live as, you know, someone who's been, you know, just boozing her way all over the place. And so, you know, it's an incredible time to be here with a couple of really pathetic decisions coming out of the Supreme Court, where the Supreme Court, the conservative majority, 6-3, decided that they were going to end temporary protective status, TPS, for Syrians and Haitians in particular, affecting several hundred thousand people. And the problem with that is that it could affect anybody else with TPS, with temporary protective status, including Salvadorans, people from Nicaragua, other places that have been here in the country through no fault of their own. TPS was created during the George H.W. Bush administration to help refugees fleeing natural disasters or wars, and as you can imagine, wars that the United States was involved in Central America. So that no surprise there.
Does this also cover like politically persecuted people as well, or
some of them? So right, this would affect 50,000 Ukrainians who got TPS. Mm-hmm. You know, so, and what the Supreme Court majority did, they said that they ruled that people can be turned away without any kind of judicial review, meaning that they can be deported at any time, even while they're trying to litigate their cases. And there was another case coming out of the Supreme Court that said people can be turned away at the border without a chance to put in an asylum claim. And so what the Supreme Court said, well, it's really up to Congress if they want to change things. You know, this particular Supreme Court is bending over backwards on a lot of things in favor of the Trump administration, with the centers, Elena Kagan, Sonia Sotomayor, and Ketanji Brown Jackson, the three of them. And Sonia Sotomayor, Justice Sotomayor and Justice Brown wrote a scathing dissent that Justice Elena Kagan read yesterday. And the body language and the not just the body language, but the way that Samuel Alito, Justice Alito, who wrote for the majority, was basically highly critical of her. If you were there watching it, and here's the interesting thing about it: one of the people who voted with the majority has two Haitian children that they adopted. So you're basically, you know, like Clarence Thomas has done over and over again. Once he reached the top, he took that ladder away that helped him get to the top in the first place. So you have a bunch of conservatives on the Supreme Court that apparently don't really care to help a lot of the their own constituents and the people that have helped them along. Clarence Thomas has said time and time again, yeah, I was helped by affirmative action, but, you know, it made me feel bad. You know, oh, well, I got into Yale because of affirmative action, but, you know, I was walking around campus feeling that people thought that I was supposed to be here only because I was Black. And so obviously there's some kind of inferiority complex going on in there. But these are two cases that are horrendous for the immigrant community. And really the only solution would be to take it down to the lower courts or Congress, if the Democrats take it back in November, to give some sort of permanent legal status to more, almost 2 million people have TPS.
I'm sure the South Africans aren't going anywhere.
Right.
Yeah, that's the other, yeah, you forgot about, a lot of people forgot about them. There were some white South Africans that have come here and, you know, basically been given a green card by the Trump administration, you know, fleeing what exactly? You know, there's nothing that a white South African needs to leave South Africa for compared to other places. And then none of those South Africans are Black, you know, coincidentally. So it's just something that a lot of times when people say, oh, well, you know, my vote doesn't count or it doesn't really matter, the people who are on the Supreme Court, three of them were named by the current president. So,
and what are they going to? What are they going to do with the Haitians? Because the government, the travel advisory says don't go to Haiti because it's dangerous, and if you do, make out a will. And so,
yeah,
like,
really?
Yeah.
What? Yeah, exactly. And that's what the Haitian community in Miami and New York, where the majority of Haitian Americans and Haitians with TPS live, they're saying the exact same thing. They're saying, you know, there's a member of the city council in New York this morning who was saying, okay, what am I supposed to tell my Haitian constituents? Don't go, but go. You know, and one of the people with TPS is actually a Haitian scientist who studies Alzheimer's. And, you know, these are people who have contributed to all people with TPS have contributed to the society, to the economy. They pay taxes. And when people say, well, they should have applied for legal status. Well, here's the thing that a lot of people don't realize. People with TPS cannot apply for a green card. They have to go through another process, such as, you know, marrying an American citizen, for instance. So, you know, and this is going to affect, too, at some point, all of those Dreamers, all of the kids that were here under the Dream Act that was passed by Obama. And again, these TPS and the Dream Act and all these other solutions to a big immigration problem were basically stopgap measures because the White House and Congress, either or both of them at the time, did not really want a deal with the immigrant the immigration reform. And so, for instance, during the Obama administration, the White House didn't have the support of a majority of Congress, even when Obama won with the Democrats taking the House and the Senate, they focused on health care. And so by the time they got around to immigration reform, there wasn't any support or not enough support. Same thing with George W. Bush. I mean, the last time there was really any big movement on immigration reform was actually during the Reagan administration, where he passed, he helped pass a bill to give asylum and a process of legal residency and subsequent citizenship to many undocumented immigrants at the time, because whatever you may say about Reagan, he did understand that immigrants were good for business. And these Republicans right now don't think that at all.
Right.
In fact, you have some, you know, Lalo's favorite Santa Monica High School graduate, Stephen Miller, going on a rant on, you know, on social media after, you know, complaining about the New York City primaries. And this particular week on Tuesday, there were a couple of Democratic socialists who beat out some incumbent Democrats in Congress during the primary. And Stephen Miller goes out there and says, well, you know, there's too many immigrants in New York. A lot of them don't speak English as in their home, meaning, yeah, if you have more than one language in your home, that doesn't mean that you're not speaking English. You're speaking more than one language. And this is a guy whose grandparents came over, or great-grandparents rather, came over here not speaking a word of English and actually continue to speak Yiddish in their home here in the U.S. You know, so this is somebody who's obviously some kind of self-hating guy,
right,
who comes from an immigrant family that is just going on a rampage. And of course, he made a comment about the whole Supreme Court decision saying, we need to get rid of all of these people. They just need to leave. Just leave. Just go. Just get out of here.
Interesting fact about Stephen Miller. You know, his Secret Service detail will not allow him to come with 100 yards of a quinceañera or birthday party because they told the children that his head is full of candy.
Well, yeah, he kind of looks like a piñata or a bowling ball, depending on how you want to look at it. I mean, you know, this is somebody who continues to fan the flames, throwing gasoline on the fire when it comes to minorities, when it comes to the immigrant community. You know, just somebody who's just an incredibly despicable person, who thinks that I'm just going to go after all of these people and we're going to get rid of them. Because you have to remember that he's the one who is behind all of these hardline immigration policies coming out of the Trump administration. It's not Homeland Security. It's not the National Intelligence folks. It's Stephen Miller directing all of this to happen. You know, so it's really a tough time. But I have to say something funny that also happened this week after all of that bad news. If you remember that FEMA official back a few months ago who said that he was teleported to a Waffle House in Georgia by some aliens.
Yeah.
His name,
right.
he
owes the tip. Guy. He still owes the tip. Is that what it is?
Yeah. His name is Greg Phillips, and he said back in April that he woke up in a Waffle House not with no idea how he got there, and that he said that he was teleported by Martians. I'm not making this up.
He woke up in the middle of a fight.
He said,
yeah,
he said, Jim, beam me up, Scotty.
Well, he was the director of the Office of Response and Recovery at FEMA, okay, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, you know, not some low-level guy. Well, he's decided to leave for personal reasons. maybe he's going to get teleported back to wherever, you know, where another Waffle House or, you know, one of these other places where, you know, he kept that job. This is how dysfunctional this particular administration is, that you have the director of the Office of Response and Recovery in a national emergency agency saying, I was teleported by Martians to a Waffle House, and that's okay, you know.
Maybe he's trying to be the head of Space Force.
They just wanted the review for, you know, for Martian Yelp.
That could be. So, you know, too bad Leonard Nimoy is not around anymore. Rest in peace to a great actor. But you can't make this up. You can't really make this up that the inside of the Trump administration is a guy who swears on a stack of Bibles that the Martians took him and dropped him into a Waffle House. You know, it's just absolutely amazing that somebody like that would be in a position of power, and that, well, I guess he has to leave for personal reasons. They don't give any more reason why, but the fact that he was there in the first place tells you a lot about this particular administration.
And this, the sketch of the alien looks just like Stephen Miller, too.
Yeah, isn't that wild? Just like him, you know, like some kind of evil cartoon character, you know. And this, you know, the same administration that, you know, the Congress basically has been missing in action for like 99% of the time. They finally passed a bipartisan housing bill that was going to help a lot of folks. The president decided, you know, they put up this whole big signing thing at the Capitol. The president decided, I'm not going to sign this until you've passed the Save America Act, which is that phony baloney of asking people or requiring people to show some sort of proof of citizenship before they vote. And that and if your name on your birth certificate does not match the name on your license, i.e. women who get married and take their husband's name, then you have to go through this whole big process. The Save America Act does not have enough votes to pass in Congress. The Republicans know this. At the last minute, the president decided, I'm not going to sign this until you do this. And he's basically willing to have his party go down in flames, even for something that is a bipartisan bill like this housing bill, rather than do what he wants, wow. Which is not, you know, that's just typical of what's going on here, you know.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Patricia, we could, like I said before, hours and hours of this stuff happening. Like somebody, I heard somebody today say, in the morning, by lunchtime, Trump has already done several Watergate level crimes.
Oh yeah, I know you got to go, but remember that J.D. Vance said, well, you know, if Watergate was happening today, it would only be like a minor thing. Well, when the grift is so deep, and when there's so much of all of this illegal stuff going on, then a breaking and entering is not that big of a deal.
Well, you know what? He's smart. Yeah. He's smarter than Nixon because he keeps all of his secrets tucked safely away in his Depends. And no one's going to go there. No one's going to go there.
Or his pool room. Well, Patricia, thank you so much for joining us this week on the Pocho Hour of Power. I'm sorry, our Depends is leaking.
That's okay. Just stay tuned next week because there's still some Supreme Court decisions, including that whole birthright citizenship case. So we'll see what happens next week. And how many more people show up to the state fair? More than 250, I doubt.
And see if we can catch that LG Qaeda.
Well, I'm going to try to teleport myself there. Just to check
the ninja war to make algae great again.
Thank you, Patricia Guadalupe, joining us from Washington, D.C., home of the algae bloom, finest algae bloom ever.
It's going to be on the back of the Patricia. Quarter.
We'll be right back with more Pocho Hour Power and Meredith Brown, an immigration attorney of renown.
Simone, get right, down, I say.
All right, guys.
Bye. Thanks.
Mine.
Oh yeah. Oh man. That's the jam right there, wasn't it?
Oh man.
That's right.
I was eating solid peanuts out the can, man. Solid peanuts.
Man, you know, we're going to have Howard Scott on here for more, so don't even play with
us. There you go.
Yeah, that's right. We're also going to have, joining us a little later, Richard Montoya from Culture Clash to talk about tomorrow's grand performances, American Payasos, Culture Clash's End Times Cabaret. Otherwise, we're holding for Meredith Brown, immigration attorney of great renown. And are you frozen? Because I'm frozen over here.
Frozen? No, man.
Am I frozen?
You mean like a frozen Disney film?
It's just my screen is frozen.
I thought you meant he was cold.
Plug a Disney or something.
I thought he was cold. I'm like, you in Chicago? You cold?
Let it go.
Oh, there he goes. We got to let him go now.
Brown, welcome back to the Put Your Hour of Power.
Hey guys, you make my afternoon. You make me laugh amidst all of this gut punching stuff that we're hearing about the Tepecianos losing their legal status. That's one. And then if you're an LPR, legal permanent resident, and you have like a matter pending, just pending, you've been arrested, you have fingerprints, and you want to travel, right? You go, well, I'm not convicted of the crime, I can travel, right? Because it's innocent before proven guilty, usually, right?
Theoretically, that should be the case.
Theoretically, right? But the Supreme Court said recently in Blanche versus Lau that essentially, unfortunately, if you have a pending matter and you happen to travel, the CBP officer can play lawyer and determine, judge, and determine, well, this is pretty serious. It looks like a really bad arrest, and you're probably going to be guilty anyway. So we're just going to parole you in. So it's kind of taking away part of their power as legal permanent residents, unfortunately. So that's another Supreme Court decision that we're looking at. Are we live streaming, Lalo, or no?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Okay, good.
Oh, not pictures.
Oh, okay.
So there is the Pocho Hour of televised power. But
no, we should be. We should know. We'll talk later about that.
We're all very handsome.
But the big news, I think, really is the TPS case, which is Blanche versus Al Otro Lado, a great organization in Tijuana that's helping people to try to present their asylums. And we're talking about really serious cases, not just from Mexico, America Latina, but a lot of people come throughout the world and they arrive in Mexico and then they try to present a legitimate asylum case. Because they're fleeing, you know, the war, or they're, you know, Russians, for example, trying to not be a participation, they're participating in the wars, for example, or, you know, from an African country where they're going to get massacred because of their political beliefs, whatever. But now you can't even present that application through this case, Supreme Court case, if you're on Mexican soil. So what they have been doing is metering, where they're giving out, like at Costco or someplace, they give out numbers, and you have to wait sometimes for months, if not years, to be able to be at least just to present your asylum claim. So like the
DMV, but less fun.
Infinitely worse, because there's persecution of certain groups as well in Mexico that I've heard of, and so. That's not really good news. And then, like I was saying with the TPS, we're talking about probably roughly just over a million when you're calculating all the different groups. There's like 17 countries, I believe, that have been given that relief. But unfortunately, you know, or fortunately, they have family members that are documented and they're stuck. And they can't immigrate because if they were brought here without documentation, they have to go. For example, different communities have to go to the U.S. embassies to finalize their green card application, which is called consular processing with a waiver. But if you don't have a spouse or you don't have parents then that have papers, you can't do that. So it's very frustrating because, you know, people within the Trump administration say, well, damn it, use the legal vias, you know, the ways that are legal to immigrate. They don't exist. They haven't existed, ironically, since Ronald Reagan. So people are stuck. They're trapped. They're scared. And I think the advice to people that are about to lose their TPS, including the Salvadorans, because they're not going to get an extension with this administration, they better look for a lawyer, lawyer up, or go to a nonprofit organization and get advice, get counsel, because you have to see if you can immigrate because you're a crime victim, or maybe because you've traveled legally and you can do something here, or you have a kid who's in the military, or you're a crime victim. There are different things you can do, but you have to move because it's, you know, it's going to get even worse. I don't know what's going to happen to our economy. We're talking, you know, roughly, like I said, between TPS and the blockade that they're doing with people that can't immigrate if they're on the list of the 75 countries that are blocked. We're going to lose, you know, potentially millions of workers. And this is not a good time to be losing workers. So everyone is up in arms. And this Congress, the Congress can, you know, negotiate something with the White House and just come up with some sort of relief, but they just are not moving. So it's very frustrating.
What a rough week in immigration. And I think I've drawn this cartoon already like 100 times. With the Statue of Liberty turning people away, or I hate to draw Statue of Liberty turning people away, because that's what irks me about all this, is that it's supposed to be legal. It's a whole point of this country, right? You can get asylum here. That's what it was like, kind of based on, except I guess for tax evasion. But, you know, it's just really disappointing that we're going down this road.
Yeah, and I think not only asylum, but there's just, I mean, the Canadian system, I really respect Canada because they have kind of a point system. So, for example, okay, you were brought here illegally, or you came as a young man, young woman without papers. Okay, that's not right. That's a civil violation. It's not a criminal violation. And to remedy that, okay, pay a fine. But you also have to show, on the other hand, that you have gone to school, that you have certain trades, that you're paying taxes, that you don't have a criminal record, or if you have something that's pretty minor, that you're willing to work hard, that you'll do volunteer work, that you're basically, you know, holding the family together. You have a mixed status family, you know, U.S. citizen kids. And so there's a way to show the government that, hey, wait, stop. You got to look at me as a human being. And I can show you that I'm an asset. I'm going to create jobs for U.S. citizens. I just had a person in my office that is amazing, and he's providing jobs to people, and yet they're trying to deport him. It's like, why don't, you know, you have to have criteria. You can't just say out because you're brown, or because we just don't like you, or we want numbers. We, you know, hit a million deportees in 1 year, whatever, you know, the administration is saying. I just wish that they could also look at immigrants from a different lens, you know, from the econ side of things, where it's going to benefit the country. And we have innovators. I have a person that has a binational company in agriculture, and it's a multi-million dollar operation, and he's DACA. It's like, why do you want to end DACA? Why do you want to deport DACA people? You got to stop and think, but it's just...
Why are we asking these questions? We know why they want to do it. Right. This has been going on since the creating of America. They've always wanted to get rid of people of color, right?
They'd rather be racist, yes. Rather lose money than not be racist.
There's two parties. Let's be real. There's two parties. There's the white party, and then there's the people of color party. That's it. And we're not in either one of those Republican
parties. But wait. So then who does Clarence Thomas belong to?
He's got a white wife. What does that tell you? my mama said this about Clarence Thomas. Never trust a man with two first names.
Well, you know what? Maybe he'll recuse himself on the grounds of being hired by DEI. He seems to be so regretful about how he got educated.
No, and I think, you know, it's very frustrating. Look at the Supreme Court decisions. It's 6-3, 6-3, 6-3. So we're kind of stuck with that. And I don't know, maybe with a new administration, we can look at judicial reform, because they are really, I mean, I doubt that they're going to take away birthright citizenship. And we should get that decision Monday, I think, or Tuesday, if it's still in June. But it's getting to the point where they're losing credibility. They really are. They're not trustworthy with the people that are paying attention, at least to the Supreme Court decisions. And the administration, what I've heard is that they were going to actually try to force people to do consular processing. Remember that one? That was only like 2 weeks ago. But then these billionaires came to Trump's office and they said, what are you doing? You're taking away our workforce. You're taking away our researchers. What are you doing? Will you stop? And the Trump administration listened and they're backing away from, well, if you overstayed a visa, you need to do consular processing. And this is, you know, what an outrage that you overstayed a visa.
Yes.
So people have different circumstances. Life happens. They have kids. They have jobs, yeah. Or they're fleeing really ugly situations in their home country. And so, again, this whole thing of just using a blowtorch for everybody, it's just not a good idea. And this, we're also just good news. I always like to throw in some good news that we are suing the government. We're beginning with some other law firms as well. We're doing a class action lawsuit to demand that the State Department, the people that are consular officers, they have to do an individualized assessment of the people that go to the consulate. We have people that won their petition. They won their pardon. They're ready to go. No criminal record. The only thing is that they got a pardon, a blessing, whatever, to go ahead and go to Ciudad Juarez, for example, to get their green card. But now for people from Guatemala, Nicaragua, and other countries are blocked just because the administration says, well, those are poor countries. Let's pause it.
Yeah, but so you know what?
They're getting sued nationally and then locally as well.
I'm sorry, Meredith, we got to get going, but at least we got some good news at the end. Thank you so much. How can people get a hold of you, et cetera?
Because legal information is power, infolegal.net, and we're right there to serve you.
Beautiful. Thank you, Meredith Brown. We appreciate you, and we'll see you next time on the Pocho Hour.
Great to see you again, Lalo. Take care.
All right. Thank you. Let's just jump right away to our man from Axios. It's Russell Contreras.
Russell!
New Mexico. He does have a theme song.
It's Russell Contreras, reporting from Axios. It's Russell Contreras, directly from our shows.
Yes, Russell.
Russell, are you there?
Every time I hear that song, I want to twirl Jeffrey and I want to dip Lalo just across the dance floor. Pochis and Pochexes, how's it going?
Doing marvelous, brother. How you doing?
Oh, just fine, just fine. Busy week here at Axios. Right last week when we were talking, Axios did land an exclusive interview with one Donald J. Trump, the president of the United States. My colleague Mark Caputo got him on the record, sat down with him for a good minute where he said that he felt his power was expanding. Go to Axios.com. You can watch that interview. On my front, looking at new census data that came out, it showed, one, that young people are shrinking. They're not shrinking by size, but the number of young people in the United States is going down, those 18 and over. Across the United States, the number of young people is dipping. The Midwest, the West, Northeast, except one region. Jeffrey, can you guess where that region is? I'll give you a hint. They like collard greens, and they like grits.
Man.
What area of the country is this?
Waffle House.
And Waffle House.
That would be the Waffle House parking lot.
Be like exactly. Hot Atlanta?
The South, right? The South is growing. It's the only area where the number of children are actually growing in percent, only about 1% or 2%. But yet, take this. Out west, the number of young people are dipping 5% in the past half decade. Looks like people just aren't having as many children. And also, because of a lot of things. People didn't want to bring children to this world, except in the South. We don't know if they're moving there or people in the South are having more kids. Probably a combination of those two. But that's kind of telling, because in our areas, as you know, universities are struggling with enrollment. Schools are struggling with enrollment. Some are even closing down. But in the South, it's actually getting crowded.
That's crazy.
Wow. Man. It's hard. You know, it's just it's hard to have sex while you're holding a phone and scrolling. So maybe that's part of the reason.
Well, they have phones in the South. Back, if you ever go to those websites, well, I don't want to mention that. The websites that I go to. but those, what's really happening, though, is that the economy in the South has adjusted. That allows people to go there because a lot of states like Florida, Texas, don't have income tax. So people want to go there to, you know, escape places where there's high income and high housing costs. Right now, interest rates, what are they, 6.25%, almost 7% for our homes. And in the South, they're cheaper. So you'll go there, not a lot of income, but you have a lot of sales tax. And that's something else we're looking into. How does tax system in red and blue America differs where you live? Because like California, big on corporate tax, capital gains tax, and property tax. Places like Texas, no property tax, but you pay a lot in sales tax, gas tax, and alcohol tax.
I was also reading that AI girlfriends are keeping a lot of these young males off the market, so to speak.
I just want to know, What's the child support rules in the South? That's what I want to know.
Well, that's a good question. What are the child support rules in the South? It varies, as you know. I bet you Kentucky's very different from, say, Orange County.
Yep.
Or places like West Virginia. You know, in all these places, there's also areas of what constitutes when you can get married. What's the age? People get married at a younger age sometimes, have more kids. And also with education, the more educated you are, the less number of kids you're going to have, because especially women, you're going on your career. You're not, it's child rearing may not be the focus. It's more planned. And that when you're younger, you are kind of enslaved to tradition. Let's just say that. And you may have more children. So that's something that is that factor, but we just don't know yet. And the data is still coming out. It's new. And we're going to be following that at Axios.
Interesting. And, you know, it also comes down to how much you make, right? Like in poor neighborhoods, you know, they have more kids. And, yeah, it's just crazy, the difference.
Exactly. Now access to a lot of these states, access to birth control and reproductive rights, that's also a factor that we have to include when we look at this data. Something else we're looking at here in Axios coming up this week. As you know, America will be turned 250 years old. It doesn't look a day over 30. And if you were enslaved, you would think, well, actually, it doesn't look a day over 30, because what has changed? And that's why we're looking and following people who are doing their alternative 250 celebrations. There will be an official one with the Trump administration and this supposedly nonpartisan America 250. But Trump has his own Freedom 250 that is more aligned with his views on what America history should look like. But yet there's other 250 celebrations going on. There's Faith 250. This is a coalition of multi-faith people who are going around the country talking about how the founders were religious libertarians. They weren't Christian nationalists is what's going on, what they would argue what's going on from the Trump administration. There's an Asian American 250 that's going around talking about the contributions of Asian Americans had made into the United States. And there's also Latino and African-American and Jewish 250 celebrations going on in small synagogues and gathering places. They're countering what they believe is they're being excluded from the larger 250 celebrations. It's sort of a romantic, mythical thing about what America is.
I'm calling you, but don't answer.
But a lot of folks who, you know, grew up in this diverse country say, that story is much more complex now.
It's sad, though,
a celebration of the past. It's actually a celebration of what needs to be happening.
It's sad that, like, as a nation, like, we can't ever come together on this, because there's always going to be, like Jeffrey was bringing up earlier, two Americas, or at least many different Americas, where there's this predominant, you know, old school white America, and then you got the rest of us, right?
Gary City.
And that's right. You know, I remember in 1976, I was only two, to be fair. I remember the 200th celebration, and I remember everybody, it was much more of a mixed feeling because we're coming out of the Vietnam War. Uh-huh. But there's much more gathering. People of color didn't know really how they fit, but they were in nonetheless part of it. And Rocky had come out, and we're celebrating
hilarious.
The 250 with Rocky, and Rocky was an Italian American. It was a celebration of ethnic whites many times back then. And that was a much more classic because it was like an immigration story that we all attached to.
Well, they're you got to admit, they're great, and their food is awesome.
They are. I mean, and the movie was great. In fact, my mom bought me Apollo Reed Creed shorts to wear every time we went down to the border in Mexico. And I wore those for about 10 years. And she said, hey, say, I want you when you cross the border, and they won't stop us.
And you know what people forget in that first Rocky? He lost the fight. He didn't win.
No, he lost the fight. And I remember people used to frame it on. I remember vividly when he would go on talk shows there in the 70s, they would say, you lost the fight, but you actually won our hearts.
Yeah.
Right?
You won our hearts.
You won our hearts. Apollo Creed won. And, you know, think about it. This is when America had just lost the Vietnam War. Right, we were just coming out of of a divided America. So everybody was losing. The Bad News Bears lost. Rocky lost. Everybody was losing, and so everybody identified with this loss.
Yeah. It was. They were trying to say it's okay to lose heroically.
Exactly.
As long as you got some cool shorts.
All you had to do was go the distance. Me and Jeffrey could fight, and as long as he hugged me and says, there'll be no rematch, you won.
Hey, there'll be no rematch.
Wow. Well, we went the distance with you, Russell Hawking people. Look up Axios stuff.
Go to axios.com/newsletters. You can get your AM newsletter to your inbox free from Mike Allen. And in the PM section, you can get it there in your inbox for free every day. Go and look around and see. We've got a lot of subjects, including America 228, a newsletter by my colleagues about the Democratic nomination process and who's running for president on the Democratic side. Go there free in your inbox. Ahoy!
All right. Ahoy. Thank you, Russell Contreras.
Thank you, Russell.
We'll see you soon.
Let's go to the shortest break ever. But first, let me tell you about the Momo Rodriguez and Friends live show. It's going to be also competing with the next segment, June 26th.
Where at?
That's tonight at the Miracle Theater in Inglewood. Yep. Call in Momo Rodriguez, hilarious comedian, and from Mayans MC, and he's going to have lots of friends on there. And if you call in 818-985-5735, you get some four pairs of tickets available for tonight at the Miracle Theater in Inglewood. But let's not go to – that was the break. Let's just go right to Richard Montoya.
Here he goes. Listen to him. This guy's a whirlwind.
What's up, Richard? Boy, what's going on?
Cholo?
Yes, sir.
Woo! Calling all Cholo. Did I hear Zool over there?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Don't be surprised, Rich.
I was ghosting Zool at Super King once. I was following him through the Strait of Hormuz, through the Strait of Hormuz at the Super King. He didn't know I was looking at him, man, but I was like, I fell in love all over again. I was like, that's Zool, man. And somewhere between the pita bread and the Strait of Hormuz over there at the Super King, which is a very ethnic, big supermarket, but good to hear from you fellas, man. What's going on? You guys are getting all political on a Friday afternoon, man.
Oh, my gosh, all the time, man. But tomorrow's going to be the time to have politics and laughs and music at American Payasos at Grand Performances, Richard.
Oh, man, thank you for mentioning that. Lalo, I know you just got back from Chicago, and I know you brought me a Stephen Miller pinata and a Katie Miller, a Katie Miller pinata for her wonderful remarks about Haitians in Springfield.
She's awesome.
But man, the Supreme Court just keeps handing victory after victory. So we gotta counter back. We gotta hit the way Pocho Power Hour hits, the way Lalo hits, the way Esteban hits, the way Culture Clash hits. I just, you know, Lalo, I was looking at your Chicago photos and. I can only imagine you walking around Pilsen or parts of Chicago. I know you have a lot of fans over there because I've talked to a lot of them. But what a great town, Chicago, man! And
I love it.
You know, it has an old political and artistic vibe to it, man. Some of the old woodcuts and some of the old union shops where they actually make art and stuff. I remember them fondly. But anyway, tomorrow night, man, we're gonna break open the piñata. And we are going to sharpen our political satire fangs and see what kind of good trouble we can make tomorrow. Grand performance is absolutely free for the people. Starting 6 o'clock to 10, we've got Eduardo Arenas from Chicano Batman, one of the core co-founders of the Batman. He's going to be there with his own band. We have a crazy cumbia band, Vanessa Marquez and Monica Salazar, a great spoken word artist from the East Side. So.
La Nueva Ola is gonna play. That's great, man. They're so fun.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, they're off the charts, man. So we're gonna be having them, and then
Richard. So for people who are not familiar with Grand for performances, where exactly is this place gonna be?
What park is it at?
Tell us.
It's on Grand Avenue between Grand and Olive, between 5th and 6th. It's an outdoor venue. It's right next to the Angels Flight.
Right downstairs, downtown LA.
And it actually is, and over the decades, they're celebrating 40-year mark of seasons. This season alone, they've had Ozo. They're going to have... Richie Valens night. They've done Selena. Tomorrow night is the older payasos night. But we're showing them that we're as young as our tempered anger right now. And you know we've got to strike back like journeymen satirists and journeywomen satirists that we are. I was talking to De Los, the wonderful De Los of LA Times, Fidel and his crew, and. Fidel connected me with a young writer right out of Stanford, and they had no idea, you know, who we were. And that's part of the whole onda. The thing is passing on that knowledge. Yeah. And when these young people come and see a show, they see something that, you know, is relevant and is fresh and is, you know, right there with the Daily Show, right there with the topical references and humor, the stuff that you guys do, the stuff that we do. I mean, that's what we came out of the Bay Area doing, and there's still a need for that. Like I think we would have gone away if there wasn't such a need to stay relevant, because there's always a time to send in the clowns. There's always a time to send in the revolutionary payasos, and right now is one of those times. You need a clown to fight a clown, and Trump's a clown, man. But we're, you know, we come from a long line of sacred clowns, so we know what we're doing. We just
that's right.
We're glad Trump is given us a space. Yep.
Trump is the clown from It. But we also have to mention that DJ Dolly from our Contra Ice crew is going to be performing right at 6, and we're going to have. We appreciate you guys letting us have a booth to promote our album Contra Ice Volume 1. And some of the, including yourself, you're on it, Richard, and with a great monologue about Stephen Miller, and also Eduardo Arenas is on it, and even I'm on it, and we really appreciate. That's tomorrow, Saturday, June 27th, and at 6 o'clock at Grand Performances. Come on down; it's going to be fun. It's free; it's a nice price. It's so free that even Gary doesn't want tickets. He knows it's fruitless.
That's
so
hilarious.
But thank you, Richard, for battling through the phone line to get here. I really appreciate you, and of course, congratulations to Culture Clash.
Thanks, Lalo. Just come on out, you guys. It's going to be a fun night. A lot of old friends, a lot of young friends, And we're going to be addressing some of the big issues, you know, like Cesar Chavez might be my daddy. I don't know.
Oh, damn.
All right. Well, thank you, Richard Montoya. There he goes. Culture
All right,
Clash
guys.
Tomorrow,
grand
performance. Woohoo. Take it away, Jeff.
Oh, man. Next we got.
We got Howard Scott for
yes,
more.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. So let's get him on, and he's in town because he just received an award, the ASCAP award from Big X, sampling Slipping into Darkness. He's got a new single out called Morena, and this was released today on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon, Pandora, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, and we're going to get him on the line right now. You know about this song, Jeff.
Yeah, man. It's hey, if you couldn't cruise to this, you couldn't cruise.
Yeah, well.
You know, slipping in the darkness, man.
Howard Scott, how you doing?
Hey, man, Gary, is this you?
It's Gary, Jeff, Lalo, and Zool.
Woo! Man, you got your whole crew there, man. It's look, man, I'm coming in from Texas,
wow.
Southern California. I'm enjoying this beautiful Southern California thing. And, yeah, last night I got the Song of the Year from Big X to Plug and the ASCAP Award. It was amazing.
Yeah. All right. Another one. All right.
Another one. There you go.
And congratulations for your star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame for the group.
You only get that kind of action here in Southern California, too. Like, when I come from Texas, man, it's always a good thing to be in SoCal because something good happens. I love it out here, brothers.
Yeah, we appreciate you.
Yeah.
And tell us about this new single. We're going to play it right now. We only have about a minute left, Howard.
Okay, listen. Me and my son put out a new song. It's a great song. It's called Morena. It's a dance song. The message is clear. But the beautiful thing about it is you got to listen to it. It's going to love the way it flows. The message, like I said, you're going to dance to it. It's a great song. Morena and me and my son, Howard Scott Jr., we put it together and this is the song. So play it for him. There you go. When she walked by, a pretty señorita with a great big smile. The music dropped, you should have seen her dancing across the floor with every beat. I asked somebody, did they know her name? Everybody in the club said the same thing. The latest single from Howard Scott, formerly of War. How you like it, Southern California? What do you think, Lalo, Jeff?
Yeah, I think more babies are being made right now.
Yes, we're going to increase the count now. That's what we're going to do.
I'm glad you guys are loving that Morena. It's going to do good. Well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Howard Scott.
Hey, man, keep pumping that thing, okay?
Yeah, we're going to blow it up. We'll play it next week, too.
I appreciate you guys. Thank you, man. Much love.
Thank you, brother.
All right, thank you.
All right, we'll
see. Thank you, Howard Scott. That's awesome. We get all the stars here on the Pocho Hour Power. Again, I want to invite everyone to Grand Performances. Come see me out there at 6 o'clock on at Grand Park. Also, I will... I'm going to be at some coffee shop in Huntington Park and Highland Park. I mean, and I don't even have the address, but I'll put it on my social media as part of Kahlo News. Jeffrey, where are you going to be at?
Man, I'm be at the Comedy Chateau Saturday night. If you're not going to see Lalo and them, come see me on Lancashire.
Real quick, we want to let people know that the Roots Picnic will be at the Hollywood Bowl tomorrow. And that'll have Nas and a bunch of other folks. Also, the KV Band with DJ Christie, a fundraiser and awareness for prostate cancer. Bellflower Fraternal Order of the Eagles. That's in Bellflower tomorrow. And then Hollywood Chola will be at the Activist Kitchen at 8 p.m. That's a play, Hollywood Chola. That's tomorrow. And Jeffrey Osborne and Sheila E. will be at the Cerritos Center for the Performing Arts in Cerritos, California tomorrow.
Woo! And don't forget Momo Rodriguez and Friends live at the Miracle Theater in Inglewood. I hope you called in and got the tickets.
It's a great theater.
Yeah, that's a great theater. Tonight at 8 o'clock, doors open at 8.
Let them know. We got to go.
Hilarious. All right, guys. Thank you all. Thanks to everybody. It's implied all of you are thanked for being on the Pocho.
Orale ese. I want to thank you all week. Too. And I want to thank you, Lalo, for being on the show today.